And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
Hey, Frank, a little birdie told me you don't need a satellite dish to get DirecTV.
What's little birdie?
Was it Jimmy the Sparrow?
It's a figure of speech. Point is, you can stream DirecTV over the internet now.
Oh, sure. Next you're going to tell me those big birds are made of metal and filled with people, right?
You mean airplanes?
Stream DirecTV without a satellite dish. Visit DirecTV.com. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
I do have a take.
Point of contention.
What are y'all talking about? Y'all hating. Stop hating. Everybody hating.
Welcome back to Point of Contention, 5 topics, 5 minutes, 5 points of contention. I'm Zach Harper. We got Andrew Schleck producing. Coming up on the show, Warriors survive. Sixers closing it out? Question mark. Can the Nuggets win in Phoenix? Do the Knicks have life? And snub day. Subscribe to our new YouTube channel by searching The Athletic NBA Show, or just click below where you see our name on that old YouTube screen. Also, subscribe to The Bounce, free NBA newsletter from The Athletic, from yours truly. Sign up at theathletic.com/thebounce. Today is May 11th, National Eat What You Want Day. Jay, do you eat what you want every day?
Yeah, and it's a problem. It's a real problem. I eat, especially during the playoffs, man.
What's the worst thing? What's the worst thing you're doing? You're in Philly, so you're just like housing cheesesteaks right now.
I ordered Taco Bell at 2 a.m. the other night.
Why? That's such a bad idea. Just go to bed.
And I had to. Well, I was still working, and so I had to.
I had to convince myself too.
I had 7 items on my order, and I had to convince myself to wipe off the 7th, and then I just stayed with 6.
Wait, but that...
No, that's crazy. That's not restraint. That's crazy. I was with you until 7 items. That's crazy. At 2 a.m.
And then he's like, well, I settled for 6. Well, I got to know, what were the items?
I did 4 of those, like, I forget what the name is, but the little wraps with, like, the tortillas.
Like the cheese roll up?
No, but like...
A quesadilla?
One of the quesadilla joints.
Okay.
And then the Crunchwrap Supreme joint.
See, here's the thing. The Crunchwrap's the only thing you need. That will like get you. Yeah. 2 a.m.? That'll
like
get you.
Mad tortilla at 2 a.m.
Yeah, that's a lot of tortilla.
I'm telling you guys, it's a problem. You asked if I ate what I wanted.
What did you knock off? What did you decide I can live without?
That's a good question. I think I had a Dorito Loco taco. Okay.
Will, do you eat what you want?
Yeah, I've been spending a lot of time in Miami, man. And, you know, those road calories don't count. At least that's what all us riders believe. So
I was
a lot of tacos. Some empanadas in my life in Miami. I was getting a lot of Mexican food, a little Cuban food here and there. You know, you just got to get the Cuban Miami amazing, vibes, man. Going when you're down there. So, yeah, it was bad.
That's the thing.
Just got to get rid of the 7th item. That's all.
That's all. Yeah, and then you're good. That's what I miss. I think that's what I miss about Miami the most is Cuban food. Cuban food is good. And it's hard to replicate elsewhere.
Yeah, you got to go to the real Cuban spot. Where the waiters and waitresses barely speak English. Mm-hmm. They got kids crying in the restaurant.
Always a kid crying at the table next to you. And it's just unattended.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
There's nobody else at the table but the kid just crying by itself. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's when you know you had a good spot.
Let's get to our two contestants. We've got Jay King, who obviously is the biggest Cooper Flag fan that we know. Jay, have you ever been snubbed?
Yeah.
I mean, you snubbed that 7th item.
I got snubbed one time. I was a really good Little League baseball player.
Oh, boy.
And they knew I played AAU basketball, so they didn't let me play on the All-Star team when I was 11 years old. And I should have been on that All-Star team. I was much better than some of these dudes on the All-Star team.
Name names. Name names. Who were you better than?
I'm not naming names.
Wow, what a coward.
Because some of them are still my friends to this day.
That's why you should name names. Yeah. Man, are you kidding me?
Man, it was it was so, like, I was head and shoulders above these bums. I was probably the second best, third best player, 11 or 12 in my town at that time. Mm-hmm. And they left me off a 15-man team or whatever it was. It was one of the worst snubs of all time. It's like
one of the worst snubs of all time. Dwight Howard, like, didn't make the All 75 list, right? But this is one of the worst. One of the worst snubs of all time.
This was far worse than Dwight Howard.
Dwight Howard is absolutely one of the 75 greatest players of all time.
Agree, but I was one of the three best players in Longmeadow.
Allegedly, you're too much of a coward to even name names. You kidding me?
That Longmeadow team was legendary.
Will, have you ever been snubbed?
Yeah, man, I still feel a way. I don't know if y'all remember a couple years ago, Chris Haynes did like this media basketball tournament during summer league.
Oh man.
And I was not invited. I didn't get an email, a text, group chat, nothing. I'm out here grinding on the basketball court trying to put in work for the people who say the media members can't hoop. And I'm out here just looking at highlights on Twitter like everybody else.
Highlights is generous.
Highlights is generous.
I was so mad I wasn't in town for that because I felt the way. Ethan Strauss had like the best highlight of the whole thing. That's how you know. Yeah. And like Ethan Strauss was good. He can kind of hoop, but I ain't buying it, man.
Don't try to sell me Ethan Strauss as a hooper.
He's not a hooper, but he can hoop. Like,
Ethan's a hooper. He was getting in the paint. He was athletic. Ethan was good. He wasn't athletic.
He jumped.
Yes, he was. He was fast.
If they put Ethan on me, I'm putting him on that block and telling everybody to get out of my way, man. Feed me the rock.
Torture rack time. Yep,
feed me the rock. That's like when Jimmy Butler sees Jalen Brunson on him. Give me the rock. Get out the way.
Food. Yep. Eat what you want, Day. All right, that's enough banter. Schleck, start the clock. Take one. The Dubs survive. On Wednesday night, the Warriors beat the Lakers 121-106 in a must-win elimination game for the Warriors. Got contributions across the board, including 20-10-4 from Draymond Green, 25-7-5 from Andrew Wiggins. Klay Thompson's still not shooting well. The Lakers still lead the series 3-2, heading back to L.A. for Game 6, but Anthony Davis's status is in question. Left the game in the fourth quarter after getting hit in the head. It was reported that he's being taken to the locker room in a wheelchair. I just want to remind everybody, too, that Corgi is 5-0 in picking this series so far. 5-0, and has the Warriors winning the next two, so do with that what you want. Will, who do you favor going into Game 6? And if AD can't go, do the Lakers have a chance?
If AD can't go, they have no chance. I mean, their entire defense is built around AD and his rim protection. And not only is it because of his importance, it's because they have literally nobody behind him to play the center position. I mean, if he's not out there.
Mo Bamba erasure.
They got Mo Bamba. They're playing Wenyen Gabriel.
Mo Bamba's not even healthy.
Yeah, he's not even healthy. He's got a bum ankle.
He's never healthy.
Yeah, they're probably going to play some Rui Hachimura as center. I mean, yeah, Andrew Wiggins LeBron and Steph are going to be eat what you want day if those are the guys playing centers for Steph protecting the paint. So they need AD not only for his scoring but his defense. So I will go ahead and guarantee a win for the Warriors if the AD doesn't play. But it seemed like he was able to walk out the arena fine. I know the inside the NBA guys were making fun of him. I know everybody loves when a wheelchair comes out during the playoffs. Jay probably knows all about that.
He probably pooped himself. Maybe he pooped himself. We don't know.
Maybe that was why he had the wheel off. He was rubbing his head. He's like, God, I got to poop so bad. And that's what it was. But nah, I think if AD plays, I'm probably leaning Lakers. Just because they're really good at home. You know, LeBron's got a little something saved up for that game 6 closeout game in his home. So, yeah, I lean Lakers. But, man, these last three games, Klay Thompson, 11 of 37 from the field. It feels like he's got to wake up eventually, right? Does he have a little bit of a game 6 Klay in him?
We keep saying that. We keep saying, well, Klay's got to start hitting eventually.
Man. I'm just waiting for that game 6 Klay to come out. And maybe that's the way. But I will say this last game, seeing Andrew Wiggins finally wake up, get some shots going in the paint, I think that's really important just because it's been too much on Steph. They can't expect Steph just to carry them the way they have. So if Wiggins gets going, if Klay gets going, they got a chance. But I'm probably still leaning the Lakers.
Jay, are you going against the Corgi?
I'm going. So it's going to be really tough to dispatch the Warriors. They should have won game four, really. Lonnie Walker got hot. Their offense totally fell apart late in that game. They've proven that they're capable of being right there on the road in this series. They need Jordan Poole. They need something from Jordan Poole. They are going to need, at some point, Jordan Poole to just carry the offense when Steph's not on the court, or make that 7-0 run into a 13-0 run because he hits two long shots. Mm-hmm. They need just something. He's playing so hesitant. It's crazy. It's like he'll jack up the worst shot, and then he'll get into the paint and be like pretty open, and it's the end of the shot clock, and he'll just kick out. And it's like, what are you doing? That's the one you turn up, man. That's the
he's an irrational confidence guy with no confidence. It's the craziest thing ever.
Yeah.
Yeah. I never thought I'd see him lose the bravado, but he's lost it. And sometimes it can get him and the team in trouble, but they need it back. They need it back. They just need something from him because the rest of the team it's really limited. And there's nobody else. I mean, obviously, Wiggins can get you buckets, and Draymond is going to get you a bit of everything. But Klay's struggling right now. Steph has to do so much, and the deeper this gets into the series, the weight on Steph's shoulders, he just needs someone to take some of it off. They need just more from Jordan Poole.
The problem with Jordan Poole is that he doesn't do anything else, right? Like, if he's not hitting, and it genuinely makes me wonder if it should just be a four-minute policy each half from Steve Kerr to Jordan Poole of, like, you got 4 minutes to prove you should play more. And it's going to, here, we're in the, 3 minutes left in the first quarter. You go in the game. Let's see what you got. You can play a little bit into the second quarter, but if you don't have it, then you got to go and then do it again in the third quarter.
I almost think they need to go the other way. And just, and this is crazy because all year long, I've thought Jordan Poole has just played a bad brand of basketball. And I think they need to just do something to get him confident again. They need to say, Jordan, just go out there, do yourself, just rock out. Because it's not just about this series. Like, they're not going to survive every series if Jordan Poole is giving them nothing like this. And they also, I don't think they can take him out of the rotation either. Because if they do, then the guys who replace him just are so limited.
Activate Ty Jerome. Got to do it.
Yeah, see, no thanks. that's a no thanks for me.
All right. take two. Are the Sixers really going to do it, Jay? Tonight, game six of the East semifinals, Sixers-Celtics. And the Sixers are up 3-2. The game is in Philly. And I cannot begin to imagine the insanity that will happen with this Sixers crowd tonight.
It is going to be nuts.
Oh, it's going to be crazy. Embiid named to his first All-NBA first team yesterday. Sixers destroyed the Celtics in game five, winning the first game five ever on the road in the history of the Sixers. Things seem to be lining up for Embiid and company. Jay, do you believe the Sixers can close this series out tonight, and will they?
They absolutely can. They have controlled this series, especially from a pace standpoint. I think that's one of the most important things that has happened in this series. The Celtics have been unable to turn Philadelphia over. James Harden is getting them in their sets. They're able to just slow down the ball and dump it into Joel. And honestly, like, the slower the game is, the less chance the Celtics have to spread him out in transition, the less chance they have to take advantage of James Harden, who can be iffy in transition. The less chance they have to put the mileage on Embiid that's going to catch up to him late in the fourth quarter. And so I just think somehow the Celtics need to do more to impact the ball, create turnovers, create pace, get out in transition, get them some easy shots so they can feel confident again. I thought they got really tight in game five. That was just a weird performance from them in a huge, huge game. So, yeah, the Sixers can win. At this point, I expect them to win. I didn't come into this series thinking they were the better team, but that is a tough place to play. That is a tough place to win. And with a chance to beat the Celtics, who have really been like the bully of the Sixers during the Embiid era,
yeah,
that place is going to be insane. So, yeah, I expect the 76ers to win.
Will what, like, I still expect the Sixers to blow this just because it's that's the Sixers. It's Doc Rivers. It's James Harden. It's Joel Embiid. Like, they just have this bad luck in the playoffs. But everything Jay said is right. Like, this Sixers team is really good. If you slapped a different name on the jersey, I might, like, start buying in a little bit more. But it just feels, I don't believe in curses, but it feels like something's up with the Sixers team.
But I think there's one factor you're sleeping on is, when PJ Tucker's on your team, he will literally put the fear of God in you. When he gets that's those true. Crazy he might eyes kick your ass on you, if you lose. He's like, listen, if I don't perform, PJ Tucker might literally murder me on the court in front of 20,000 people right now. So I need to start hitting some shots. I think that might be the biggest difference for this Philly team. But what's crazy is these last couple games, it just feels like James Harden just looks comfortable in playoff basketball, which is something we rarely see, is James Harden just moving around, not feeling like he's under pressure, not feeling like he's 2 of 11 from the field and he's scared to take shots. It's been wild just to see how comfortably he's running the offense. And I think the big thing in that game 5 was just Joel Embiid having his game. I felt like that was his signature game, the way Tatum had his game 6 in Milwaukee last year. I felt like that was Embiid's game. And when your team sees your best player have that moment on the road, I think it's kind of a transformative moment for everybody. So I got a new level of confidence in this Philly team. And, you know, it's crazy. I kind of feel like they're the favorite in the East right now. I feel like the way, you know, those guys are playing, Maxey stepping up in a big way on the road, I feel like they're probably going to win game 6. And I think they're probably going to march to the finals as well. And I think it says a lot about, you know, what Joel has done this year, but also, you know, shout out to tampering, man. They're getting PJ Tucker, getting Daniel House. You got to tamper if you want to win.
I couldn't believe Daniel House.
This is the key. Let alone
look at Kyle Lowry in Miami. If we learn anything during these playoffs, Anthony Davis in LA. If you learn anything during these playoffs, tamper, folks, kids. If you want to win, tamper. That's what we learn from these playoffs.
Always tamper. You have to tamper. If you don't tamper, you're a sucker.
If you ain't cheating, you ain't trying.
Exactly. It's just that's the way of the world. You did mention the Sixers as the favorites. I would warn against.
I know, heat culture.
And against heat culture. Heat culture. Man. It's just, look.
I might be banned from Kaseya Center. Is that what it is now? I don't know.
Is that what it's called now? That can't be the name.
I feel like I go through this evolution every year. Every year I go through this evolution where I'm like, you know what? The Heat, they're not really that good. They're not. They don't have good. They got Kevin Love in the starting lineup.
We have the same conversation every year.
Caleb Martin's out here dunking on people.
Every single year I'm like, are Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent really going to lead you to the promised land? It's like, no. Yeah. Eric Spoelstra is, and Jimmy Butler is. And it doesn't matter who's around them. It's incredible. Every single year, I look at their roster and I'm like, there's no way. There's just no way.
Here they come.
Every year.
Yeah. Every year they break you down into a begrudging acceptance that Heat life and Heat lifers are the way to go.
I will say, every year, as soon as I finally commit, they lose. It takes me that long to commit. And then they lose. So I think they're going to beat the Knicks. But who knows? I'm not going to say they're going to lose after that, because I bow down. I bow down to Heat culture. I bow down to Eric Spoelstra. I bow down to Jimmy Butler.
Clip that, Schleck. That's what I need. I need that as a personal clip to throw in the group chat.
To Caleb Martin and Gabe Vincent.
Caleb Martin is bullying Julius Randle. He's down 40 pounds on him. It's crazy.
They make no sense. We got plenty of time. And I'm saying this after a loss. They make no sense.
Let's take a quick break. When we come back, can the Nuggets beat the Suns on the road?
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 U.S.-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
This episode is brought to you by Michelob Ultra, the official beer sponsor of the NBA. Want to get closer to the game than ever before? Michelob Ultra Courtside is giving fans the chance to win exclusive NBA prizes and experiences like official gear, courtside seats to an NBA game, and more. Head over to MichelobUltra.com/courtside to learn more.
And we're back. Take three. Suns scorching in Phoenix. The Nuggets are up 3-2 on the Suns, heading back to Phoenix, where the Suns have only lost once during the postseason run so far. In home games, Devin Booker is averaging, check this out, 38.8 points, 4.4 rebounds, 8.6 assists, 69% from the field, 55% from three, 85% for the free throw line. For some reason, I'm disappointed in the free throws, but 85 is still good. He and Durant are combining for 70 points per game at home in the playoffs. On the other side, Nikola Jokic averaging the most road points in the playoffs so far this year with 36.5 points per game on 62% shooting. Also ridiculous. The Suns will be without Chris Paul tonight as he continues to recover from his groin injury. So, Will, can the Nuggets get this one and finally stop the Suns at home?
I think they got a really good shot, obviously. I mean, Jokic is playing at an incredible level. I think I still am feeling game 7-ish in this series because I think Devin Booker and KD at home, I think they're going to find a way. Maybe they'll find another Landry Shamet game from one of those role guys. But yeah, I don't know why, but when I watch this series, I just feel game 7. This thing is going 7. Maybe that's me just having wishful thinking because I would love to see these two just lock horns for a game 7.
Yeah.
KD and Booker versus Jokic. But I think the Suns have figured some stuff out at home, being able to play with some pace, being able to open up some three-pointers. And it feels like, especially in those games in Phoenix, it just turns into Jokic having to carry the offense all by himself. Now, if Jamal Murray gets going, I think that'll be huge for Denver to kind of put this one away. But I'm feeling game 7-ish right now, and I would love to see that. Maybe Matt Ishbia put his fingerprints on this series again somehow. Dies for a loose ball or something, but nah, I'm picking the Suns tonight, and I feel like KD is gonna have one of his better games because it feels like he's not shooting 75% like Devin Booker, so he's got to step it up.
Yeah, Jay, Kevin Durant's been really good at home in the series. He's been terrible on the road, so that does lend it towards maybe we get a game 7.
The Nuggets better hope they don't get a game 7.
Whoa. What?
No,
dominant at home.
I'm not saying they would lose a game 7, but if you go into a game 7 against Devin Booker and Kevin Durant, you know that you are one exquisite shooting performance away from going home. Even though you've been the better team in this series, even though I think they're a better team than Phoenix overall, they have a much better supporting cast. Jokic is just at an absurd level right now. The continuity they have matters in this series. But if you go back to game 7 and you're against Kevin Durant and Devin Booker, all it takes is one ridiculous performance, and both of them are so capable of doing that I would be petrified. So Denver's got to treat this game 6 like they need to take care of business. They cannot afford to goof up on the road. They've got to go in there and take this series because they are, to me, the better team.
I think so too.
And I think it's been pretty clear in this series that they are a better team, but I'm just saying I would be so scared.
Do we think there's any possibility Chris Paul could be back for a game 7? Does it even matter?
I don't mean this to be as disrespectful as it's going to sound.
It's going to sound so disrespectful.
Would that actually help them?
No, I think that's a good question
It'll get campaign off the court. That would help.
It would, but I
just anybody but campaign.
I like the pace of play they have with campaign. I wish it was anybody but campaign, but I don't think you should go slow against Denver. Like, Chris Paul is only going to play slow. They shouldn't go slow against Denver. Like, I think you have to try to run them.
And also, if he does come back, like, how much can he give you?
Yeah, because it's not like he's coming back at 100%. He's coming back at like, all right, shit, I got to play this game. It's a game 7.
Yeah, and that would really worry me, especially because like earlier in this season when he came back from an injury, he looked so bad that I thought he just had nothing left for a while. And then he snapped out of that and got better. But like I'm still scarred by watching him the first few games he came back earlier this year.
Yeah.
And we know with Jokic, he's probably going to target the hell out of Chris Paul if he's out there.
Oh, my God.
Yes. He's just going to be like, Chris Paul, you come here. We're going to make you play defense if you want to play in this series.
Yeah, yeah, we're going to do split cut. You're going to have to change direction constantly. Like, we're going to put you through it. What do you guys think is more likely, that the Nuggets role players show up in game 6 or the Suns role players show up in game 7?
Nuggets. Nuggets. Definitely Nuggets. Absolutely Nuggets.
Oh, man.
Now, when you're talking role players, I'm thinking like the non-Jamal Murray, Aaron Gordon type of guys. That's what I'm thinking of. Like, do we think like a Christian Brown or like a KCP has a big game in Denver?
I'm starting to crusade. I'm calling him Christian Braun. I know they say it's Brown, but you can't spell it that way and tell me that that's Brown. You just can't. Like, I'm not doing
I'm with you.
I'm not I'm doing it. You. It's Christian Braun. Like, your name is Braun.
I'm with you.
That.
Put some respect on his name, literally.
The spelling's disrespectful.
You know what's disrespectful?
Hmm.
Starting Josh Okogie and Campaign in the playoff. They give him the
Keith Bogan start, where he starts and he plays like 11 minutes. It's like, what's the point of even doing that? Like,
that's not right. Coming up after the break, the Knicks finally show up.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service that you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Take 4. The Knicks are back. Last night, the Knicks finally showed up for their second round series with the Heat, defeating them 112-103 at MSG. Jalen Brunson, 38 points, played every single second of the 48 minutes. Tibbs trusted Brunson and Quentin Grimes in this elimination game, giving them both 48 minutes each because we know he just doesn't like to make substitutions. I think he's the guy that plays like NBA 2K and forgets that like players get tired and that he has to go to the menu or do the little pull down menu to sub guys out.
Do you know the story of the time Doc Rivers got ejected and Tom Thibodeau coached the final 18 minutes of a game and did not make a single substitution?
I buy that, man. I love it.
I love it.
And I'm pretty sure, like 100% sure, not 100%, close to 100% sure, he just forgot he had to sub.
Yeah. The Heat, who have cooled off in the second round from three, only shot 30% from deep, were out-rebounded 34-50 in this game. The series heads back to Miami 3-2, and the Heat have another chance to close this out. So, Jay, it's your begrudging acceptance. Will Jimmy Butler end this on Friday, or did the Knicks give you hope?
Jimmy's going to end it. Jimmy's going to end it. These dudes needed 48 minutes from Jalen Brunson in game 5.
Mm-hmm.
In game 5.
48 of them.
And like in every minute counted. Because they didn't really pull away until that last minute. Like Miami still had a chance.
I was so much of this series comes to, down to me. Can Julius Randle just be solid? Because he has a size advantage, he has a physicality advantage, mm-hmm. and sometimes he just uses it in all the wrong ways. And sometimes he plays too slow, and he shoots when he should pass. Mm-hmm. The two plays that were the most important to me are like the plays that he needs to continue doing the most. The drives to the paint, there were two in the second half of game five. Drives to the paint, sprays it to the corner. Both of them ended up with Jalen Brunson, swing pass to Jalen Brunson for three. And that's what Julius Randle can do. I just don't trust him to do it. Right. I don't think this Knicks team has the collective IQ to beat an Eric Spoelstra defense. It's going to be Miami. I finally bowed down to Eric Spoelstra.
Yeah, select, remember, give me that. I need that personal clip right there. Will, do you think the Knicks have a chance? Because I've been saying this whole series, if they just – well, I didn't say play Jalen Brunson, you know, 48 minutes, but I just thought if they make Jalen Brunson the absolute focus and everything goes through him, they have a shot to make it competitive and win a, you know, win a game or two. But they haven't done that until game five.
Listen, man, heat culture. That's all I'm going to say. Heat culture. Mm-hmm. There's no denying it. Mm-hmm. The weather's going to be hot in Miami. Mm-hmm. You know what that means Knicks when the Knicks like come that. To town. you can't hit a jumper when it's hot outside. We saw the Jalen Brunson masterpiece, 48 minutes, 38 points. I think that we could say that was his best playoff game, best game period of his career probably. I know he had 40 on that Utah team last year, but they were sorry by the end. So I think we're going to call this the best game of Jalen Brunson's career. Yeah. And part of me wants to see the Knicks win because I just want to see how far Tibbs can keep this going at playing Jalen Brunson 48 minutes every single game. Like, I want them to go to game seven of the finals with Jalen Brunson playing 48 minutes every single game. That would be incredible. But I just think, man, that the Heat, they're undefeated at home this playoffs. You know, Jimmy Butler like took like 12 shots that game five. So, you know, he's kind of saving his energy for when they get back to Miami. And I feel like once he kind of puts his foot on the gas pedal, I think it'll be too much for the Knicks. The Heat has just got too many weapons over there. Bam Adebayo has been dominant when he really, you know, turns his game up against those Miami bigs. And, you know, I hate to say it, but I feel like the Knicks' chances kind of ride on Julius Randle waking up. And if that's what I'm hoping, if I'm a Knicks fan, then, you know, I'm looking at Tankathon trying to see what those draft picks are going to be, because I don't feel like Julius Randle is going to get them there. So, I feel like Heat culture, get it going. I'm going to go ahead and send my travel to my guy Sergio and see if I'm going to be back in Miami.
Serge, get it approved.
For games
yeah.
three and four. Approve my through. Trip, Sergio. I'm back in the building eating empanadas again.
Yep. And get the closeout game in Philly when they win five. Jay, if it does get to a game seven, do the Knicks have a chance? Which is a disrespectful question because they'll be at home. But
yeah, what one game situation, they would absolutely have a chance.
How good of a chance?
It wouldn't be good. wouldn't be as good as most teams at home in game seven. Tell you that much. I know. I'm done disrespecting the Heat. I'm done.
You know,
just looking at their roster.
He's trying to get them to lose by accepting
reverse
them.
That's, jinx.
Yeah, it's the reverse jinx he tried to do with Sacramento. Like
I am done looking at the Heat roster and just shrugging my shoulders and thinking, how could they possibly do this again? I'm done. It's over.
You got to start listening to me.
I have fully accepted that if a series is moderately close,
put them in the finals, you coward.
Then Eric Spoelstra will win it. If it is wildly lopsided, he might still win it. And
you
that's just
he
how,
won't, he
that's
won't
just
give
how
credit
it's
to
go.
Jimmy Butler. He won't give credit to
Butler. I've given all sorts of credit to Jimmy Butler. I have bowed down to Jimmy Butler.
Just
Jimmy Butler
Vincent.
Has continuously been awesome. Mm-hmm.
Put Jimmy and Spo against the 96 Bulls. I got Heat in six.
I got Heat in four. Just Jimmy with Spo coaching him. It's over.
I'm telling you, he would outcoach the Max pants Truce. Off of Phil Jackson.
Oh, my God. He had that triangle looking like a damn rhombus. Are you kidding me? I don't even know what that means. Take five. Jeez. Yeah, it's another game.
A trapezoid. Oh, it's going to be a trapezoid now.
We're talking way too much geometry right now.
We gotta
get it together.
Snub day. Today is also International Snub Day, the day we talk about who didn't make All-NBA teams and who was snubbed. All NBA teams were named last night. Here are the results. First team, Giannis, Tatum, Embiid, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, Luka. Team two, Jokic, Donovan Mitchell, Steph Curry, Jimmy Butler, Jaylen Brown. Team three, Sabonis, De'Aaron Fox, Damian Lillard, Julius Randle, and LeBron James. So, the snub list, we have Kevin Durant, Devin Booker, Anthony Davis, Jalen Brunson, James Harden, Pascal Siakam, Kawhi Leonard, Ja Morant, Kyrie Irving. We can talk snubs, but you got to tell me who you take off the All-NBA teams if you want to say a snub's name. So, Will, are there any real snubs, and who are you taking off the All-NBA teams, if so?
I think the most important thing you said, whenever we have these snub conversations, stop being a coward. Mm-hmm. Name who you're taking off the mm-hmm. list, not just who should be on the list. So, I had a vote this year. I did not have Damian Lillard on my All-NBA team. I did have Devin Booker on my third team All-NBA. I think I can understand putting Dame on there. I just had a hard time putting a dude on there when his team had the fifth worst record in the NBA. I understand Portland went in the ultimate tank mode at the end of the season. They were losing games by like 100 points at the end of the year trying to get Wemby. I get it. But they lost a lot of games with Dame in there as well. And I felt like when Book was healthy, Phoenix was an elite team in the West. He was an elite two guard. You can argue the best two guard in the NBA. So I think Book, I have him on my team. I understand putting Dame on there. They're like 12 guards who deserve some consideration this year. So I get it. But that's my guy, Devin Booker, on the third All-NBA team. I think he deserved it.
Jay, you putting anybody on, and who are you taking off?
Booker would have been one for me.
Not too many missed games for him?
He had a lot of missed games.
Because that
he
was the only thing that did it for me. It's just like there was a certain point where missed games, I was like, all right, I gotta cut someone here.
But he was at MVP candidate level.
He was,
when
absolutely.
He did play.
He was.
Absolutely.
And to Will's point, like Damian Lillard, even when he did play, he was playing like it was just his team was bad. And every team knew his team was bad. Nobody gets up for a bad team. Mm-hmm. I just felt like comparing those two seasons was not like Booker's was just far more important than Dame's. Yeah. And maybe that's unfair to Dame because he was just playing with like young guys who have no clue how to play basketball. But that's just how I felt. And then the other one, I would have taken off LeBron and I would have put in Lauri Markkanen.
100%. That's what I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
Lauri
LeBron
Markkanen
missed too many games. Like they thrived when he was out that last stretch. Like they found themselves, you know?
I gotta admit, I had LeBron's second team. It just felt crazy not putting LeBron on there, especially the way he was playing.
Crazy. It does.
He was averaging like 30 a game when he was healthy.
Yes, yes.
Like we see LeBron now in the playoffs. Like we forget how crazy LeBron was early in the season when he was healthy. Mm-hmm. Like he was going nuts when they were trash, and he was.
But they were losing games all the time.
Yeah, I'm kind of contradicting myself now because I said I didn't put Dame because his team was trash and LeBron's team was trash when he was putting up big numbers.
Yeah.
But I was just kind of looking at it and I was like, am I gonna look back 10 years from now and be like, yeah, I feel comfortable putting Lauri Markkanen over LeBron James on my All NBA team? I was like, nah, I'm not gonna be that guy.
You can't vote this way, but there's something cool about like 19th straight All-NBA selection. You know, like what
that's
are the
crazy.
Like it, that's
man,
nuts,
that's
right?
A stunt.
Yeah.
That's a stunt.
That's insane. You're one of the top 15 players in the league for 19 straight years. There's not one year you get hurt. Mm-hmm. There's not one year you slip up a little bit. There's not one year your team is too bad for you to get there.
Well, if we're being honest, you know,
this year could have been
the year before Anthony Davis, you probably shouldn't have made it. He played like 50 games.
He did though.
But yo, yeah. to the point, Jay May, can I just talk about how much I hate the 65 game rule that's coming in next year? And now we're gonna have to be glued to the games guys' basketball reference page. I hate it. I hate it so much.
Start showing up. Let me be an old white guy on radio. Like, no, on
this guy
radio.
Played 61 games.
Show up to work, NBA players. You get paid millions of dollars to do this job. You can't show up so little Timmy, whose dad spent his hard-earned money to get you courtside seats.
Section 381 at the top.
No, I love when it's like, oh, these kids sitting courtside, they didn't get to see LeBron tonight. It's like, yeah, these kids are rich. Like, what are we doing?
Dude lives in an 8-bedroom mansion. Yeah, that kid will be fine, yeah. I promise.
Yeah, exactly.
But I'm not mad at like we were talking about with Booker being like, he just didn't play enough games to make your All-NBA team, fine. I hate putting a number on it. Where it's like, you have to reach this number or you're cut off. It just feels weird to me because, like, we don't do that with any other award where you have to reach a certain, like, you can't be an MVP unless you average at least 25 points per game. Like, we don't do that with any other award. It just feels weird to do that with games played.
Yeah, are we going to do that with most improved as well? Because that's when it gets funny to me. If we're like, all right, you're most improved, but you better hit that 65 game mark.
Right. Sixth man, you got to average at least 15 in the game. That's the all Jamal rookie. Crawford line.
All rookie second team. You better get in 60 games if you want to get here. I love the idea
it's
of doing
weird.
That.
Weird.
Yeah. I like it, but it is weird. I'll admit it's weird. I also think they're going to get rid of it in the next CBA.
Plus, what we don't talk about enough, and I talked about this with Garrett Temple at end of season press conferences, where they're going to have this thing where, like, if a team forces you to sit, they're going to have, like, an arbitration to be like, these games count and these games don't count for your games played. So we're going to have, like, your actual games played versus your games played that should count. And we're going to have, like, put this stuff into, like, some random arbitrator's hands to figure out which of your games
I've
count.
I've always like said that NBA needs more arbitration. I've always said
I want to know who's the guy determining which game counted. We need somebody to do that.
We need
Vork to do that story. Shout out to my guy, Vork. Who's the arbitrator
slamming the
gavel down?
I can't wait for Rudy Gobert to like hit 64 games, think he's defensive player of the year, and then pull like an Andrew Garfield in The Social Network and tell the Timberwolves, you better lawyer up, motherfucker, because I'm coming for that entire award. That's what I want to see.
I thought she was going to say Rudy Gobert
Rudy
crying in the scrum because he only played 64 games.
All right, that's going to do it for this week's Point of Contention. Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe to all the podcasts on the Athletic Podcast Network. Warriors Plus Minus, Anything is Potable, Down to Dunk, No Dunks, Glue Guys, Sixers Beat, and of course, The Bun and Cardigan Show. For Jay King, for Will Guillory, for Andrew Schlecht, I'm Zach Harper. See you next time on Point of Contention.